Welcome to My Musical Journey, where our guests choose significant music in life's musical journey.
And a very welcome guest on My Musical Journey today is Damien Thompson. Welcome, Damien.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
We've invited Damien onto the program because he was awarded the Emerging Philanthropist of the Year Award just recently as part of the Queensland Community Foundation's 2021 Philanthropy Awards. So congratulations.
Thanks again. Yeah, it was a really great event to go to. And
yeah, lots of people in the room who were, very supportive, I think.
And I think that's reflective of everybody and the culture that they've drawn to that event, the people involved. It's just such a good atmosphere. So,
yeah, indeed. Now, we're going to hear some lovely music as we talk, but we're going to trace your journey through to the point that made you the recipient of this prestigious award. So whereabouts were you born?
I was born in Townsville, North Queensland, and spent my whole school life in Townsville and work life until I was diagnosed with leukemia. So,
what age were you?
I was 23.
23 when you were diagnosed?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And what were you doing there in terms of employment around that time?
Well, I was working for the family business in Townsville, Bayswater Road Radiators.
Yep.
And so we're a cooling system engineering business in the mining and industrials.
So it's the family business?
Yes.
So all the family involved?
Yeah. So, yeah, the majority of the family was involved at the time, and it was a shock to everyone because I was fit and active and playing soccer and very sporty, and it sort of come out of the blue, actually.
Yeah. So how did it happen that you were diagnosed? Did you have some symptoms that you went to the doctor with?
Well, yes. Very confusing, though, as it turns out, because I actually herniated a disc in my lumbar spine, and it turns out the pain from that I associated just with the injury, but leading up to a week before I was diagnosed, that pain had transformed into a throbbing sort of internal spine pain, but it was in the same area. So because of that, I left it a little bit late. being 6 foot tall and bulletproof as well, you know, at that age you think you're fine and you'll have some vitamins and sleep it off over the weekend. But unfortunately, no, the pain got worse and travelled up my spine and started to affect my breathing early one Sunday morning. Sorry, it was Father's Day morning. And to the point where I found myself in the shower just with nothing but hot water trying to numb the pain. And it was at that stage I thought, well, I've scalded my back here with hot water. I think something's serious. And I walked into emergency and they said, oh, that's it, you're not going anywhere.
Wow. We'll continue this journey with you, but let's go to some music now. This is music of Vivaldi from The Four Seasons.
Thank you. Thank you.
music of Antonio Vivaldi from his Four Seasons, Spring, very appropriate music for the time, played there by the Queensland Philharmonic Orchestra. Julian Quirit was the conductor. The violin soloist was Warwick Adeney, who is now co-concertmaster of the Queensland Symphony Orchestra, and that was recorded by the 4MBS concert recording team back in 1991 in the QPAC Concert Hall. You're listening to My Musical Journey, and our guest today is Damien Thompson. Damien was awarded the Queensland Community Foundation 2021 Emerging Philanthropist of the Year Award, and it was because of the wonderful fundraising that Damien has undertaken that has benefited a lot of organisations, just to name a few: the QIMR Berghofer Foundation, the Leukemia Foundation, the Sony UCAN Youth Centre, Ronald McDonald House, along with the Australian Red Cross, and Transplant Australia. Now, why is Transplant Australia so important to you?
I think primarily because they are very exercise orientated, and the fact that I've used exercise throughout my treatment to better myself or to improve my outcomes, I'm a big believer in exercise as a medicine. I really like their concept of creating transplant games and including people like myself and others that are limited in their abilities but still willing to be sporty and competitive to go to a group of games, excuse me, where it's an even playing field, I suppose you could, yeah.
So you say limited in your abilities. What are the limitations now compared to pre your contracting leukemia?
Oh, well, there's quite a lot, actually. I'll start with the hips. I've had double hip replacements, so
right.
There's many things I can't do in terms of flexibility and strength. It does affect my balance, as well as, I suppose, the medications I'm on, as they come with a large amount of side effects in terms of focus, balance again, and energy levels. So, I think primarily it's a whole body issue over and above the lung transplant itself.
So that was a double lung transplant?
Double
which
lung
is a,
transplant.
A very big operation.
It's not a small one.
No.
It's quite an involved process too, actually. The coordination involved in actually sourcing your donor lungs and transporting them to the hospital, and obviously preparing myself and the team to at a very short notice. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And clearly they've got to keep you alive during the operation
story.
Lungs,
yeah.
Indeed. And also I'm reading here from the Queensland Community Foundation's booklet, a bone marrow transplant, obviously, as part of the treatment for the leukemia.
So I suppose the story begins in 2010. And so I had leukemia, an aggressive form of leukemia called ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So I had, I was 3 months aggressive treatment in Townsville and sent straight to Brisbane for a bone marrow transplant. And I was fortunate enough to have my brother as a match.
Very fortunate.
Yes. Yeah. So I was able to have my bone marrow transplant in March in 2011, just 3 days shy of my birthday, actually. And so they call that your new birthday. So in actual fact, I've got three different birthdays, but we can speak about that later.
Intriguing.
Yes. And the bone marrow transplant was a success in the way that it cured my leukemia, but I did suffer from a disease, and I do suffer from a disease called graft-versus-host disease, and it's an autoimmune condition. So effectively, the new cells and bone marrow that I received don't recognise in a perfect way my makeup, essentially my organs, my bone, my whole body as a protein, as
so
protein
they're
differences.
Fighting each other.
So they argue. They don't get along too well.
Okay.
And that led me to ultimately have my lung transplant because it attacked my lungs in a way that they couldn't recover and they weren't going to stabilise. So I was very fortunate to have the option to get the lung transplant because there was no option left.
Yeah. Mm. When did they find out or discover the grant, the graft versus host issue emerged. Was that straight after, or how long does that take?
Yeah,
to manifest?
Well, I had it in two forms. I did have it aggressively in the acute form within 100 days of your bone marrow transplant, and that appeared on my skin, my eyes, my stomach, and liver. So we were able to control and suppress the graft versus host disease in those areas.
Right.
But the lungs are very complex, and it had invaded the lungs to a point where there was no turning it around. The only hope we could have was to try and switch it off with very high levels of immunosuppressants. And so that slowly degrades the body as you go through the years, and that's ultimately why I needed the hips as well.
Wow, interesting. You must have been thinking, what next is going to be happening?
Yeah, well, I tell my tight group of friends I'm, in a way, a trial hopper. I'm waiting for a new medication to come out so that I can try it, because that's where I'm at today.
Indeed. Mm. We'll have some more music. This time it'll be some Mozart, but then we'll come back. I think it's clear what your motivation is in terms of fundraising, but let's talk about some specific causes.
Absolutely.
So here we have music of Mozart, the first movement of his A Little Night Music, a little Eine Kleine Nacht Music. music of Mozart from his Eine kleine Nacht music, a little night music. We heard the first movement, the Allegro movement. It was performed by Capella Istropolitana, conductor Wolfgang Sobotka. You're listening to My Musical Journey, and our guest today is Damien Thompson, who is the 2021 Emerging Philanthropist of the Year, an award presented by the Queensland Community Foundation. And the award has been presented to Damien just recently at a big event in Brisbane City Hall. I think there must have been 500 or so people at the event, a lot of people from the business community, a lot of supporters of very worthy causes, and a lot of philanthropists. And Damien has been awarded the Emerging Philanthropist of the Year award because of his work in raising almost $250,000 for a range of causes, which he is supporting because he's been on a journey, a magnificent journey really, to be where you are now, having had a diagnosis of leukemia, a transplant, bone marrow transplant, double lung transplant, as a result of the graft versus host disease. So when you say it like that, it must sound terribly daunting to you, but you've lived it.
You're
here to tell the tale. But you're clearly on a lot of medication to to control the impacts.
A lot of immunosuppressant medications. Started from the bone marrow transplant, actually, and has followed through for the last 11 years. Nearly 11 years, I should say.
Indeed. Now, when you were first diagnosed, did you think 11 years down the track you'd still be here?
Well, no, I think at the time, it's on reflection, it's a strange feeling because everything changes at that moment when you're told you've got leukemia. It's a bit of a life-changing situation, actually. And so I learnt very quickly that to take things day by day, because if I look too far ahead, I'd get very stressed.
Understandably. Let's talk about some of these very worthy organisations that you have been involved with in fundraising for them. That's a significant amount, almost $250,000 that you've raised. How have you gone about that? And then we'll talk about some of the actual organisations.
Well, I suppose during my time in hospital, I'd always wanted to give back because I understand what's involved in keeping someone like myself alive, and not only that, supporting my family along the journey. And so I nominated the QAMR, Berghofer, Leukemia Foundation, Transplant Australia, Red Cross Blood Service, which is Life Blood now, and the Ronald McDonald House as part of that group. But I suppose what motivates me is, it comes from inside. I didn't want to be one of those people that spoke about it. I wanted to take action, because not only does that help other people, it helps me. It helps me get out, get back into society, because at some points throughout my treatment, things got very difficult for me, mentally and physically. So I thought, what better way to readjust and realign, to use my experience to help other patients and their experience. So
what sort of activities have you engaged in to raise the funds?
Media campaigns, hosting events like High Tees, Comedy for a Cure. We had Dave Hughes come to Comedy for a Cure and raised quite a significant amount there, and radio interviews in the past, documentaries, speaking engagements, basically any creative area that I can think I can make an impact, I'll engage in.
And clearly with these organizations, you will have had to have learnt about them and to be able to talk about them as well. So, as you said earlier, a very steep learning curve you've gone through.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose I'm very much up to date with the research happening at QAMR Berghofer, because that interests me in my health going into the future. But not only that, I see some programs not getting the attention that they should. So I'm determined to make a difference there.
Yeah, there are a lot of very worthy causes that help, you know, in terms of fighting disease. But you're right, some do get a lot of attention and others sort of down there at the bottom of the pile. And it's probably just through lack of, I suppose, ability for everyone to focus on everything.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you can get caught up in a bit of tunnel vision, whereas a significant impact can be made through these smaller programs.
We'll have some more music, and this touches on jazz. This is composer George Gershwin, who was one of the few composers who straddled the line between classical and jazz, and this is one of his best-known compositions. We don't have time to play the whole piece, but it's his Rhapsody in Blue, and it's for piano and orchestra, and there's a wonderful clarinet solo in there as well. But I think you'll enjoy this piece, and then we'll come back and talk about the Chimera Legacy Foundation, which is really fascinating. So let's enjoy some George Gershwin now. We'll be right back. We heard then the final section of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Michael Tilson Thomas was the pianist, and he also conducted the New World Symphony. The clarinetist you heard creeping through there was Jerome Simas. Music of George Gershwin, and our guest on My Musical Journey today is Damien Thompson, and we're talking to Damien about his journey. It's not been a musical journey as such, it's been a medical journey, a significant medical journey. And we've touched on your support for a range of organisations that are relevant to your story. Tell me about the Chimera Legacy Foundation. Tell me about that one. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so I'll start with the name and where Chimera comes from. So essentially, because I've had a bone marrow transplant and a double lung transplant, I am made up of three different people, including myself. So I've got three DNAs running through my system, and a chimera is reflective of being made up of different DNAs and different people. So that very much is the fundamentals behind that, and why I called it Chimera was to target the people that in the transplant community that are multiple DNAs. So over and above that, I think I just want to create a fun little culture within Chimera. So yeah, it's interesting. It's a good point of conversation. Everybody touches upon that, and it's a bit of a story. So
indeed. I'm interested in what you've been doing with the virtual reality. Now that's something that's emerged in the last 5 years or so.
I'd say within the last 5 years, people in America at least, I've noticed, have been trialing virtual reality to reduce stress. And so I still have quite a few complications that require hospital admissions. And I sort of got bored of the fact that I'd lounge around for so long without any form of positive interaction or distraction. And so I looked into new ways and found virtual reality. I came across these studies and thought, great, I'm going to buy a headset and take it in with me every time I go in. And it was just absolute game changer for me. And it was just such a fantastic form of distraction therapy that it boosted my morale to a point where I no longer feared going into hospital. Over and above that, I was the most popular person on the ward.
Can't be bad.
No. And it wasn't due to personality, I can tell you.
Lots of extra attention, perhaps, from the nurses.
And patients. They all wanted to have a go, and at times I couldn't get my VR headset back. So,
what sort of things do you view and experience through the headset?
Oh, there's lots. So, exploration and travel and adventure. There's games. You can visit a virtual cinema and sit beside another person from anywhere in the world, interact with them while watching a movie while you're in a virtual setting. So you can do things like, and just the small things that really help, like throw popcorn or have a drink and even chat to the person beside you. So the social aspect is huge as well, because it does get quite lonely. So it very much breaks down those barriers for you.
The only experience I've had with the virtual reality was at an aged care conference, and it was for people living in aged care, and they would be able to go on a safari to Africa or something, which I must say was a bit frightening. Seeing the lion heading straight for you. And the other experience was, I think it was a flight over the Grand Canyon, and I'm not a big fan of heights, so when it went over and you saw the cliff there, the legs tingled.
Belly rush, didn't it?
Legs tingled. It's very real.
Yes.
Very real. So it does have that power to take you out of your current
situation. Well, that's what it's all about, to escape. The last place you want to not be but think about is sometimes the situation that you're in, and particularly those four walls that you're isolated in. So you put the headset on and that allows you to escape, to go anywhere in the world, actually.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So in terms of what you are doing, that virtual reality, are you advocating for that or raising funds to help people access that?
Yeah, so what I found is I tried to influence certain organisations to adopt it and certain hospitals to do that, but found there's probably me being too naive by way of just thinking that it would happen. But unfortunately, there's a lot of steps to take in terms of ethics and safety protocols. And so I started developing a program that would target anxiety through specific applications, insomnia, depression, so that we can reduce the stress for those certain types of conditions. And what we've come up with is a program in which the clinician can very much control that setting for the patient. So, for example, if they are in bed and they're stressed or they're experiencing pain and things like this, they don't have to do anything but put the headset on and relax and sit back. So I think it's a credit to the Chimera team, actually, and the Royal Brisbane Women's Hospital now, where we've implemented the first VR aid program, has seen our first day a huge success, to the point where the bone marrow transplant unit are now putting together a clinical trial so that we can...
That's a big step.
It is a big...
To get to that point takes a lot of work.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we've got an absolute bonzer of a team, for the lack of a better word. And that includes some of my previous doctors, actually. They believe in it so much that they're willing to put the hard work in to prove the concept so that we can roll it out everywhere and impact as many people as possible.
So if any of our listeners want to support this work, how can they do that?
Visit chimeralegacyfoundation.org.au.
So that's C-H-I-M-E-R-A.
Yeah.
Chimera Legacy Foundation.
That's it.
org.org.au. Excellent. Yep. And you'll be able to actually help Damien achieve some wonderful things.
Yes.
So we're going to have some more music. I think we might stick with the sort of jazz theme, because I think you alluded to the fact that
I jazz use that as therapy.
As therapy. Yes. Excellent. So we've got another famous composer, musician Leonard Bernstein, who wrote a piece based on jazz themes, but foot in the classical camp as well. Prelude, fugue, and riffs. And here is music of Leonard Bernstein. Thank you. Well, if that didn't wake listeners up, nothing will. It's music of Leonard Bernstein, again, another composer straddling the divide between classical and jazz. And we heard Prelude, Fugue and Riffs. The clarinetist was Tad Kalkara with the New World Symphony Orchestra, Michael Tilson Thomas conducting. We've only got one more piece of music to play, and we've been talking with Damien Thompson, who was awarded Emerging Philanthropist of the Year in the Queensland Community Foundation's 2021 Awards, held just recently. If you're interested in the Queensland Community Foundation, go to their website. So just Google Queensland Community Foundation and then look at the 2021 recipients, but also the nominees. A lot of very, very worthy organisations were nominated. And our guest today on My Musical Journey, Damien Thompson, was the winner of the Emerging Philanthropist of the Year Award. And we've been talking to Damien about the work he's done, raising funds and awareness for some very, very good causes. We'll give the Chimera Legacy Foundation website address again, but if you Google Chimera Legacy Foundation, but it's .org.au, and it'd be most appreciative of support, I think, to help you with your work. So hopefully some listener will help out in that way. We touched on earlier, and we haven't had a chance really to talk much about it, but there is a documentary in the making. So where are you up to with that?
Well, we're close to 2 years in now, and the purpose of the documentary is to capture what it's like to live as a transplant patient, the ups and downs, and I suppose the positive here is to highlight the effectiveness of virtual reality and how it's helped me and my personal journey, to essentially display or portray how it can affect positive, in a positive way, other patients like myself. So it's my goal to use my experience in a way that I can help other patients through their experience and reduce their stresses and essentially better their outcomes. Because it's very much proven, if you're stressed leading into treatment, it's directly related to worse outcomes through various complications without that throughout the treatment process. So I strongly believe, and so do others now, that virtual reality will have the, I won't say the biggest impact, but will have a great impact for patients, and it will revolutionise the way things are done, at least for the mental well-being throughout that process.
Well, we wish you well, Damien, on your journey and on your support for these other marvellous causes. So congratulations again, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Yeah, thanks
on
for having me.
Journey. And we're going to finish with some marvellous music, music of Edward Elgar from his Enigma Variations. This is the very moving Nimrod Variation. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra is conducted by Norman Del Mar. the Nimrod Variation, music of Edward Elgar from his Variations on an Original Theme, the Enigma Variations, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, Norman Del Mar. And that's our My Musical Journey for today. And our guest has been Damien Thompson. Damien Thompson, the Emerging Philanthropist of the Year in this year's Queensland Community Foundation Awards. For more details about the award recipients and those that were nominated, go to the Queensland Community Foundation website.
You have been listening to My Musical Journey.